Morning. You can turn your Bibles, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We are very glad to be together today. We're glad that you're here with us. We've had an action-packed weekend, as many of our weekends are. We had a great youth and family, a monthly devotional Friday night. We had really a very fantastic, meaningful small group leaders workshop yesterday. And some of you have been at everything we've had this weekend, so thank you. Amen. Where you are in life, but we appreciate it. But we're very glad today to think about some things together, as this is kind of our first Sunday in 2018 with just us. The first Sunday of the year, as we always do, we had a great praise and worship service together, and then last Sunday, all of our teens were sleeping after the lock-in, and we did have a great message from Mike Mead, but today we get to talk about some things about 2018. You know we're on 2018. Kind of crazy. I said in our prayer with the staff men Thursday morning that together Ross and I are going to be 100 this year. I share the bulk of that number. But we look forward to seeing what God is going to do in 2018. All right, you know. Now, let me just say, we're spending this week and next week kind of talking about some of our plans and dreams and goals for 2018. I'm going to talk about a little bit about it today. And then next week, you'll hear not just from me, but probably Russ and Ross and Rob, and we're about some more things that we hope and believe God can do in this coming year. We always pick a theme for the year. You want to know what our theme is? I wish we had some drum rolls. We should have kept Marcus up here for a while. We told the small group leaders yesterday, our theme for 2018 is grow. Grow. Now, let me just say this. If you've been around our church fellowship for a long, long time, let me just say, when you hear the word grow in this setting, what may come to your mind first? All right, evangelism, baptism, things. Now, those things are very important because 1 Timothy 2:3-4 says, God wants all men, what? To be saved. Yes, we hope to see many to the Lord this year. But that's not where we're starting in talking about grow. Yes, we're going to be talking next week about our vision for the church, some very specific plans and themes or vision, things we want to see happen in 2018. But what really matters is not our plans and our programs, or our procedures, or our protocol. What matters is our relationship with God. That's where we start. A focus on God. It is not accidental that for many years, the first Sunday of the month, we simply sing, pray, read scriptures, praise God. Because it starts with us and God. You know, as we've begun our midweeks, all the men, all the women spent the whole midweek evening praying to God because it's about God. As Peter concluded this little letter, we've come to call 2 Peter, he's given them a lot of instructions. He's tried to correct some misthinking about some things. And he says over at the end of chapter 3, verse 17, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both glory now and ever. Amen. possibly the last words that Peter wrote, at least the last we have recorded. The Holy Spirit said through him, grow in your knowledge of Jesus. That's where we want to start this year. And it's interesting, he says, you know, I know you know this stuff, but let me just tell you again. I want to say up front, I doubt I'm going to say anything today you've never heard before, but don't drift off on me. Because we want to be close to God. Let's talk about relationships a minute. Just some principles about relationships. Ray Lou and I have been married 48 and a half years. Isn't that awesome? We look so young because we got married when we were 10. Well, not really. We know each other very well. After 48 and a half years, we've known each other more than 50 years. Before I met her, I saw her and heard her sing. Oh, boy, that pretty girl can sing. I want to meet her. Well, 50 years later, she's still singing. I got her. Amen. But think about this. Let me tell you what our life is like. We don't really talk anymore because we know each other. We kind of live our separate lives. I have a little study in the basement. I kind of stay down there, you know, pretty much all the time. She stays upset. We don't need to talk. We know each other. Every once in a while, we're in the car together, although a lot of times we have to take two cars, so good, we don't have to talk. We don't need to spend time together because, you know, used to each other, we know each other. You believe all that? Hey, we know a lot about each other. I know what she likes. She loves candles. It's kind of a joke because we got like several cabinets full of candles. They're closing Pier 1. We went to see if they had any sale on candles. I don't know. I love going to yard sales. For some reason, I like chairs. You know, you can only have so many chairs in your house. We have a lot of people. It's kind of a joke. I said, there's a set of chairs. They're $20 each. Like, we know a lot about each other. But you know, it won't work to maintain a good relationship if we never talk anymore. And just assume we know everything about each other. And you know, even after this long, you've been married a long time, and every once in a while you learn something new. The other night, she was sitting with a cup of something. I know she drinks decaf coffee, and she doesn't even drink that at night because it may keep her awake. I said, what are you drinking? She said, warm milk. I thought, we've been married 48 and a half years. I didn't know you like warm milk. You? I don't know. Wow, where have I been? Look, we still need, and in fact want, constant, regular communication and companionship. She's my biggest fan, my biggest encourager, my biggest support, my biggest strength, companion. The only person I never get tired of being with, no offense to the rest of you who are my friends. But if we are not communicating regularly, every Monday morning we go pretty much to our same diner for about, I don't know, 10 or 12 years now, and we talk, we try to talk about how we're doing. I always ask her if she's still loved, and usually pretty much sometimes I get a good answer, and if not, I need to work on it. But we've got to talk. We've got to communicate. No matter how long we've known each other, without communication. And here's something else we have learned about each other. After 48 and a half years, we're still really different in a lot of ways. And we really think differently, naturally, about a lot of ways. You know, and if you've been married about a week, you find that out. And that is the potential for a lot of little things going on. So we got to keep talking. You know what else? You know where we're going with all this? Let me tell you something I've noticed about God and me. We think differently about quite a few things. The way I naturally think and the way he thinks ain't always the same. I need the ancient words. I love that song. We'll talk about that again in a minute. Let's see where we're going. A relationship. A real, deep, meaningful, life-changing, joyful relationship takes communicating. There's no way. I know we say, oh, I have this friend, I see him once every 5 years, and we pick up right where we left off. And there's a sense when you can do that, especially guys, because it's not always that deep anyway. But there's no way you can really, really be close to somebody without regular communication. Do you agree with that? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in knowing Jesus. Grow in knowing God. And you know how that happens. Communicate. God speaks. The ancient words that change our lives, that mold our thoughts and our characters and our perspectives that give us strength. The prayer, our communicating our hearts to God. I love reading through the Psalms, particularly David, sometimes saying, I don't know why this is going on, and I flat out don't like it. God's given us the communication tools to be close to Him. I love that prayer that we prayed. Father, take my hand. Hold my life. You love me. How do I know how that happens? Is it just a feeling? No, because He said it over and over again. Why are we talking about reading our Bibles and praying all the time? Well, again, have you been around very long? We know that. You know, over the holidays, as you know, we had all of our family together. It was so awesome. 17 of us in our little house. And, you know, now that both daughters live close, at various times, various parents would go home late at night and take various kids overnight. But there were still just a lot of people. And I realized, I love it. It was awesome. They for some reason, want to be with us. And they want to be with each other. And it's amazing. But it sure messed up my routine. I mean, I get up in the morning, and I get my cup of coffee, and I sit in my chair, and I read, and I pray. And my 18-year-old grandson was in that room, stretched out asleep, and I couldn't go in there and read and pray. And there was another kid in our bedroom on the floor and a mattress. There are pretty much people everywhere. And I'm struggling to find a quiet place. And then coupled with the fact that I love going on prayer walks. There's a woods about 10 minutes drive from me. You can walk and walk and pray. And remember how it was like 5 degrees? I'm sorry, Lord. I just couldn't get it done. Sometimes when I can't do that, I walk and pray on the treadmill, but there's somebody asleep in there. But I love it. I love it there. If they were there all the time, I'd really have to figure out a new kind of way of life. The point is, there are always things that happen that want to mess with my communication with God. Just like with people, just like with any human relationship. There are distractions, there's busyness, there's life. And as we grow, you and I cannot grow without being close to God. Boy, there's a profound statement. Write it down. You can't be close to God without talking to Him, letting Him talk to you. Even as you think about the passage, you know, I understand that our walk with God, our relationship with God, is bigger than kind of the sum total of how many times we talk in prayer and read the Bible. Our relationship is bigger than just how many times a day we find each other. But without that foundation, there really is no relationship. I hope you have some ancient words, favorite psalms, for example, favorite passages, as Jim shared. Let me tell you one of my favorite verses. That's a favorite verse for a lot of us, isn't it? I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. That the words, God speaking to us. Because I'm telling you, sometimes I want to think too much like me, and it ain't always pretty. I can get thinking like me in my relationship with my wife, and we need to talk. I need to know how she's feeling about what I'm thinking about me. But we can get back in sync. The Psalms. Look at it. Psalm 60. I just want to share. These are three of my favorites. Favorites. And we're not going to go in depth and read all these. You know, my son Brian wrote a song we sing, "Lead Me to the Rock," from this song. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This psalm really happens to be a prayer. So you kind of combination saying to God what we feel, but His inspired word. I love Psalm 62. My soul finds rest in God alone. He alone is my salvation, my fortress. I will never be shaken. How are you not going to find rest in the chaotic life we live? This is from God. I love Psalm 63. Oh, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I've seen you. And your glory, because your love is better than life. I don't always feel that way. So I go back to the word. Oh, yeah, this is true. This is what reality is. Growing in the knowledge. Go back to 2 Peter. Time 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's back up a minute. As Peter ends this letter, he says, you know, I've reminded you of a lot of things. I've told you things that I know you know. But I'm telling you so that you can stay faithful, not be carried away by error, and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We're not going to have time to really give an exegesis part of the, chapter 1, but I do want to read it, and I want you to think about it for a minute, and we want to talk about a way that we can use this to help us in 2018. You know, Peter introduces this letter, verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. By his own glory and goodness, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Boy, there's about a 2-hour sermon there, but we can't have it today. Peter says the knowledge of God and the recognition of his promises, his great and precious promises, allow us to do two things. Participate in the divine nature. What does that mean? Become more and more like Jesus. And secondly, escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Who's evil desires? Ours. Peter said, let me tell you, as we come to know God and understand his promises, we can be different. We can grow. I appreciate the things Mike Mead shared last week. God can change things and change us. And we get kind of down and discouraged sometimes and self-focused and woe is me and I've always been this way and always will be this way. And that's not what it says here. I'm not saying it's not difficult to overcome things. He says, you can be like Jesus. You can escape the corruption of the world. You can grow. And then he says, here's some things that will help you grow. For this reason, verse 5, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, what does that mean? More as time passes. In other words, if we are growing in these qualities because of God and his promises. It says they will keep you from being ineffective, unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's this interesting, almost paradoxical thing that happens. As I work on me in the context of knowing God, I know God better, and that helps me be better, and it all kind of works together. Verse 9, but if anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted, blind, has been forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter, throughout this, he says, here, you know, work on some things that'll help you be more like God. As we read, as we pray. Let me tell you something we talked to the small group leaders about yesterday. Growing in our knowledge of God is being reflected in our lives. We want to help each other. We are a family. We are a collective group of people trying to serve God. There are about 615 of us. You know, what we want to do over the next 2 or 3 months is have some conversations about this passage with each other. We're going to be asking every member of our congregation to sit down with somebody, probably your small group leader, and let's look at this. We're calling these love talks. Now, if you've been around a long time, let me say something. This is not a counting the cost all over again talk. This is not an in or out talk. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, praise the Lord. This is not a reconstruction talk. This is not me sitting down with Genesis and saying, here's where you're messing up, buddy. You better get with the program. This is looking at this passage and me saying, you know what? I look at this list. Here's the one I'm working on. Love talk. because we are serious about growing in our knowledge of God. That's what's going to change us and change the world. We're going to sing a song Ross wrote a few years ago for the campus in a minute about change me. That's our prayer, but it's a prayer to God. It's God who's going to change us. And it all works together as I'm reading my Bible, as I'm praying, and I'm humbling myself before God, as I'm identifying. All right, here's what I'm going to focus on this week. God, help me grow. What does grow mean? It first means you. Me. All that stuff. I'm not growing in my knowledge of God. Really, to no avail. Grow. Are you willing to grow this year? Grow in your knowledge of God. We're about to see somebody, God is changing. Somebody's getting baptized today. We're going to get to witness this, and then we're going to come back to this idea of God's knowledge changing. Ancient words have already changed the